Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 4 to 9. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Why don't we read them to begin with, and then we'll refer back to them in a few moments. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. This morning I want to just share a message about transferring your faith. Transferring your faith. Many of you have probably seen athletic events where especially the running races. And one of the running races is called a 440 relay. 440 relay or a relay race is a race where there's four people that are running the race and they carry a baton with them. And the first runner runs and he runs around the track until he gets around to the place where the second runner is waiting for him. And the first runner is carrying the baton. And as he's running, the second runner begins to run. When he gets close, he begins to run. And they hand off the baton. And the next person grabs the baton. And he keeps on running. And the first runner stops. And they go around. And then he passes it off to the second runner. But you know, there's one key thing about this race. It doesn't matter how fast you run. If you drop the baton, you lose. You could be the fastest world runners, but if you drop the baton, you lose. You've got to pass the baton to the next runner. And you know, that is a good illustration of the Christian life. God wants fathers particularly, but fathers and mothers. And this morning, the message is geared to fathers, but it's also for the mothers. Because you know, some families, there you may be here and your husband is not a Christian. You need to be able to pass on your faith to the next generation, even if your husband doesn't get involved in that. Or there may be a situation where your husband's not really walking close to the Lord. You've got a greater responsibility. There may be some families where the wife is on her own. The husband is left and they're not there. And so they're on their own. So whatever the situation may be, God wants us to pass on our faith to the next generation. Just like passing on that baton to the next runner, you are passing on your faith to your children that they might carry it and they can pass on their faith to your grandchildren and carry it on. And on and on like that down through the generations. And that is what God has for us to do. And that is really what God was describing for us here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he was speaking to the children of Israel. He was speaking to the children of Israel while they were still in the wilderness. Remember, the book of Deuteronomy is a repetition of the previous books in many respects, and it repeats the law. Deuteronomy literally means the repetition or the giving again of the law. And so Moses is reviewing the law with the people. But one of the things that God said is he said, I want you to know the law, and I want you then to pass it on to your children. You need to teach it to your children. You need to pass it on to them. And so this morning, as we look at this morning, we're going to be talking about the handoff to the next generation. And in order to have that, there needs to be the first runner. We're going to look at who the first runner is. There needs to be the second runner, and then there needs to be the handoff. And we're going to look at those three aspects of it this morning. First of all, let's notice the first runner. The first runner is you. You're the first runner. Verse number 4. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now God is speaking here to the older generation, particularly the fathers, but the mothers would be included in this. He's speaking to the parent generation. He's saying, I want my word to be in your heart, and I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, and might. I want you to love me. Now, that's very important. Love for God requires a relationship. Love always requires a relationship. You can't love your wife without a relationship. You can't love your husband without a relationship. You can't love your children without a relationship. Now I say that in generalities. I mean, if your children turn their back on you, you can still love them and there's not an active relationship there. But there is a relationship of parent and child. All right? And so there is some kind of a relationship. So love requires a relationship, and God desires a relationship with the people of Israel. That's what He's writing to them for. I want a relationship with you. I want you to love me. And I want you to know my words, have them in your heart. And you know, as we apply that to ourselves today, God wants parents to do two things. First of all, to love Him. And to love God, you have to have that relationship with Him, knowing Christ as your Savior. And I think probably most of us here this morning are in that situation, but perhaps some are not. And there has to be a personal relationship with God before you can honestly say you love God. You know, there's a lot of religious people in our world that say they love God, but they only know about God. They don't really know God personally. And there has to be a personal relationship with God. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, he said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" God tells us, each one, to examine our own selves. You know, that sometimes people think, well, that's scary. It shouldn't be scary. If you know the Lord as your Savior, examining your heart to see whether you really know Christ shouldn't scare you at all. But you know, if you get afraid when you talk about examining your heart to see whether you really know Christ, it ought to send off some red light signals. Something's wrong. Maybe you don't really know Jesus Christ, your Savior. The most important thing in the whole wide world is knowing Christ as your Savior and having a personal love relationship with Him. Because that's where it all starts. You cannot pass something off to your next generation that you don't have. And that's where it has to start. Then he also talks about how that love grows through fellowship. Notice he said there in verse number 6, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." They be in thy heart. If God's word is going to be in our heart, there has to be a fellowship with God. There has to be fellowship with the word of God. It is communing, spending time together with the Bible, spending time together with God so that we have a fellowship. We're getting to know God. We're getting to know His word. So He says, I want you first of all to love me, and then I want you to learn about me. I want you to know me. I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to have fellowship with me. And that is key to the parent generation. Because if you don't have that, I said it a moment ago, but it is so true. If you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing to pass to the next generation spiritually. And that is what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to pass it on. Now, if we're going to have this fellowship with God, it's going to take time. You're going to have to study the Bible. You're going to have to spend time in the book. You're going to have to meditate upon it, read it, memorize portions of it. And you need to be able to have it in your heart. You know, we live in a generation where we tend to be busy and lazy when it comes to spiritual things. Busy in the world and lazy towards spiritual things. And it's tragic how few Bible verses Christians know today. You know, if you had to sit down and write out every Bible verse you could think of, even if you didn't get them quite exactly right, I wonder how many you could write out. You know, we need to know the Bible. We need to know the Bible. Why? As a parent, who is going to teach your children if you don't? Oh, you say, well, I'll take them to church and let them do it. Listen, God is all in favor of church. God ordained church. God wants you to be in church, and He wants you to be part of a church, and He wants you to be members of the church. But God never said, let the church take care of your children. God said, fathers, you're responsible. And mothers are to help them. So God tells us here, first of all, that we're the first runner. We're the one that's carrying the baton. And you need to ask yourself, am I doing my part as the first runner? Am I leading my family in the way that they ought to go? Can I honestly say to them, follow me like I'm following Jesus? And you need to be able to carry the baton so you can hand it off to them. Now, the second runner is our child or our children. And you must pass on your faith to your children. You've got to pass it on to them. And God tells us there in verse number 7, He says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. All right? So He says, all the information you know, the loving God and learning God's word, It's what I do, and then I take that and I pass it on to the next generation. I learn about God, I love God, I spend time with God, I have a relationship with God, and I pass it on when I'm running through life, and I've got only that short little period. You know, the runners of that race, and I've never run a 440, I've run track a little bit, but I've never ran that race, but I know that there is a line here and a line here where between those two lines, they have to pass it off. And if you pass it off too late, you lose. You pass it off too early, you lose. You've got to pass it off within that time span. And you know that time span for a parent to pass off their faith to their children is infancy until adulthood. Once they leave home as an adult, basically your time's over. And, you know, it doesn't mean you won't have any kind of an influence in their life, but your main influence is during childhood. And you've got those 18 to 20 years to pass off your faith to them. And it is a big task. But God says that we need to teach them the things that we have learned. You know, as a parent, you are their teacher. You are their mentor. You are their intercessor. You're their instructor. You're their trainer. You're their, perhaps the most example, their example. You are their example. The most important thing you can be is an example. Because your talk talks louder than your walk. Your walk doesn't talk as loud as your talk. I messed that one up there. But your life, your example, is what speaks the loudest to your children. They need to hear that. They need to see that. And so we've got an example to stand before them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, God tells us there, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That is the training, the complete training and education of the Lord. He said there needs to be spiritual training in your child's life. You need to bring them up in that teaching and training so that they will know how to live for God. And it talks about discipline, nurture and admonition, deal with discipline and instruction. And they're both woven in together. Now, as I said a moment ago, passing on that baton to your children is something that has to happen during their childhood. It is a short period of time. There's no quick solutions. And there's no shortcuts. And there's no second chance. There's no second chance. You can't say when your child's 25 and he's gone away from the Lord, you can't say, "Well, you know, son, come back home. Let's just come back home and sit at my table. You can be three again and we're going to start over." It doesn't work. You can't do that. And so we've got to pass on the baton during their youth. Now, you must fill your child's heart with the truth of the Word of God. You've got to fill their heart. His heart will control his thoughts, his words, and his actions. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, a very key verse for parenting. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart controls what you do. Your child's heart controls what he does. And it's out of the heart that proceeds these things. And Jesus said, out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. He said, it all comes from the heart. He also said that the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. And so it is the heart that is critical. We've got to fill our children's heart with truth. And his heart is naturally corrupt. But you've got a job to change it. Now, it's God that does the changing, but God uses parents to mold them and teach them and train them and help them so that God can do that changing work in their life. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." And that's true about your children just as much as it's true about you. Our heart is desperately wicked. And we need God's help to be able to change the hearts and nurture the hearts of our children. So we've seen the baton is in my hand as a parent. And as I'm running through this life and during those 18 or 20 years and I'm getting ready to hand it off to my children and the handoff is coming near and I get it ready and I've got to hand it off to them and they've got to be able to take it and run with it and go with it from there so that they can continue to do what is right and continue to walk with God and they can continue to develop and then they can hand it off to their children someday. And the baton is handed off to them. But now the handoff process is parenting. We're going to spend most of our time here on this. The handoff is our parenting time. Generally, Christians follow one of two types of parenting. We're going to look at those two types of parenting that take place in most people in Christians' lives today. Verse number 7, again in our text says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." So God wants us to teach our children. The first type of parenting that is most common, it is almost exclusive, sadly, the way that parents train. And that is called behavior modification. Behavior modification. Big word, I'll explain it. Behavior modification. Behavior modification focuses on modifying or changing the child's behavior. My kid's bad, I gotta make him good. He gets mad, I gotta make him quit getting mad. He lies, I gotta stop him from lying. Behavior modification. Just whatever I gotta do, stop him from, and so the world has come up with all kinds of ideas. You know, bribe him, you know, be good kid and I'll give you candy when we get home. Stop doing that and you're gonna get, you know, I'll give you a big hug. Or, you know, or they're just, you know, they'll count to three. One, two, three. Oh, and try to get them to, and all these things, what are they after? They're trying to get their kid to behave. At all costs. Sometimes they use discipline to do it, and sometimes they use bribery to do it. But they're trying to change the behavior of their child. And it's focused on outward obedience. You've got to obey because you make me look bad. Listen, when we go off to our friend's house and you throw a fit and you're carrying on, you make me look bad. When you get angry and you do these bad things, you make me look bad. When I get reports from the school that you've been causing trouble at school, you're making me look bad. And I don't want you to do that. So be good. Be good. All right? And so the emphasis is on being good. Many parents think, if my child keeps out of trouble, gets good grades, does the right things, gets a good job, I've succeeded. But that's an unbiblical philosophy. That's an unbiblical philosophy. It's not what the Bible says. And many of us perhaps were raised in families where behavior modification was the theme. Maybe in your home right now, behavior modification is your goal. Because it is very common. Not just among the unsaved, but also among Christians. We've got to change their behavior. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't need to help our kids be good. I'm not suggesting that. But it goes far beyond that. And that's what we're going to be looking at in a few moments. Now, changing behavior is only external. It's just like training a dog to behave for a reward or punishment. You can train your child to do the same without ever equipping his heart. You can take a dog and teach the dog, sit and I'll give you a treat. And the dog finally catches on, if I sit down, I'm going to get this treat that I want, and so I'll sit down, give me that treat. You give him the treat and, you know, he's happy. And the child, you know, you may bribe the children into being good. And you can have really good kids. Some people have really good kids, but they've bribed them into being good. Or they've threatened them into being good. Or they've done something else to try to manipulate them to be good. Because you've got to be good. You know, sometimes parents say, you know, you've got to work hard in school and study hard. Because if you don't study hard and work hard and get good grades, then you're never going to get a good job and make lots of money. So they push the kid in that direction. Sometimes they'll use other things to manipulate their behavior and try to persuade them, but it's all external. It's all external. You know, it doesn't equip their hearts to do right. They will do right in your presence, but they will do wrong when you're not looking because their choice did not come from a godly heart. You can get them to do right. Dad's looking. Yes, Dad. Whatever you want, Dad. I'll do it. But when Dad's not around, hey, Dad's not around, let's do what we want to do. Why? Because it didn't come from their heart. You've got to reach their heart. And behavior modification does not address the heart, it addresses the behavior. Whatever I've got to do to change the behavior is what I need to do. Just be good. You know, what have I got to do to get you to be good? Just be good. And I'll do whatever I have to do to get you to be good, because you're making me look bad, you're embarrassing me, and I don't want a kid that's bad. I want you to get good grades, I want you to succeed in life, so be good. Right? And so the emphasis is on behavior modification. Be good. And it's like the boy, though. I've probably mentioned this before, but I never forgot this illustration. His father said to him, "Son, sit down." And he didn't want to sit down. He said, "Son, sit down." Finally, the boy sat down. He said, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." All right? And, you know, that is just behavior modification. He got him to do what he wanted, but not from his heart. It had nothing to do with his heart. In his heart, he was going to stand up. And you know, this is so popular in our world today. Behavior should flow from a godly heart, but many times it doesn't. And many times behavior is only modified, and the child's goal in behavior modification, the child's goal is to do what he pleases and yet stay out of trouble. And the parent's goal is to try to catch him when he disobeys. So there's this game going on. All right? The children, basically, most kids in our world today, I think this is probably true, I want to do what I want to do, and I'll do as much of that as I possibly can without getting in trouble. I want to avoid trouble, but I want to have fun and do what I want to do. I don't want people telling me what to do, including my parents. And the parents are out there trying to, I want my kid to be good, so I'm constantly watching. I hope I can trust him. Is he going to do bad? Is he going to do right? You know, watch the children, see whether they're being all good and bad. Because they're this cat and mouse game. You know, the mouse is trying to get away without, you know, steal the bait, and the cat's trying to get the mouse, and they're back and forth trying to catch each other. And, you know, really, that is the theme of our world today. It's each trying to outwit the other. Each trying to out-deceive the other. That's why there's so many godless television shows and things of that nature, where there's rebellion, and even in the cartoons, where the children are trying to deceive the parents and outsmart the parents, and the parents, usually dad, he's a big dummy that doesn't know anything, and the mom, she's kind of playing along with the whole thing, and they're all trying to deceive each other and trying to see who can get away with the most stuff, and dad's trying to catch him, and you know, there's all these back and forth. That's not what God planned. That's not a Christian home. That's not what God tells us in the Bible. That's not what we read here in our text. And it's because the world is promoting this anti-biblical way of parenting. Our goal must not be to have good kids, but our goal must be to have godly kids that do right because they choose to do good. Now let me say that again. Our goal must not be to have good kids. Our goal must be to have godly kids that will do right because it comes from their heart. That must be our goal. And behavior modification does not address that goal. It just says, do right. I'll bribe you. I'll punish you. I'll scold you. I'll yell at you. I'll scream at you. I'll do whatever I got to do, but do right. I want you to be good. Be good. And it never addresses the problem. That's like trying to go to you guys aren't familiar with skunks, but in America where I grew up, there were skunks. Skunks are about the size of a cat. And they are black with a white stripe down their back, and they got a foul smell that comes out. They can spray out of their tail, and if you scare them, they'll just turn around. And if you get hit, it is such a powerful smell that it'll make you vomit. Literally, it is repulsive. And you can go to, you know, it's like trying to tell a skunk, be good, be good, be good, be good. And it doesn't come from his heart. He's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Because it doesn't come from his heart. And so it is with our children. It's got to come from their heart. We've got to reach their heart. And we've got to be able to get the poison out of their heart and fill it with godliness so that they will be able to choose to do good from their heart. So behavior modification is the first most common parenting type. But now let's focus our thoughts on heart preparation. Heart preparation. And that's really what we see here in our text. When God tells us there in verse 7 again, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The word diligently, you ought to underline it. Diligent. What's that mean? That means you need to work at it. It needs to be a constant thing. You're pouring your life into that at any cost. Parents, what this is saying is it doesn't matter what it's going to cost you. You better pour your heart and life into passing that baton to your children. He said, I want you diligently to teach these to your children. Diligently teach them. And in order to be able to teach them, you've got to have it. Remember we said that before. You've got to have a hold of that baton. And if you don't have a close walk with God, you can't pass on a close walk with God. Impossible. You can't do it. You've got to have a close walk yourself in order to pass it on to your children. Now, as parents, it is your job to prepare your child's heart for the issues of life. Remember Proverbs 4, verse 23? Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All the issues of life are going to come out of their heart. You've got to prepare their heart. You've got to teach them. You've got to put into that heart so that it'll pour out the good things and they'll make right responses and they'll make the right choices in life. But you have to put it in there. It's not going to happen all of a sudden. It's not going to happen by going to Sunday school. And my wife does her utmost best to help those Sunday school kids come to know the Lord and get a foundation. But they get a half an hour on Sunday morning once a week. You've got them the rest of the week. It is not the Sunday school class time to train them. You have a responsibility before God. And he says here, notice what he says. Look at that verse again and look at those words that he uses there. He says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou, what's the next word? Sittest in thine house. And when thou next, you guys aren't helping me. What's the next word? Walkest in the way, by the way. And when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Well, what's he telling us? He says, all day long, I have a responsibility to help my children. When they're sitting down, when they rise up, when they're sleeping at night, when they're all day long, I have to have an interaction with them. Now you say, well, I go off to work, so I can't do that. My wife's got to do it. Well, you work as a team. But Dad, when you're home, you better have a part of it. You be there as much as you possibly can to be able to help them because God places the burden on you to pass the baton onto them. You need to equip their hearts so that they will be godly and make biblical choices in life. That is our goal. I want my children to have a heart that will make biblical choices in life. And I've got to equip him for that. I've got a big job. I've got to teach him God's word. I got to teach him God's principles. I got to teach him Bible truth. I got to teach him Bible values. I got to teach him biblical discipline. I got to teach him faith in Christ. I got to lead him to the Savior. I've got to equip his heart so he can know the Lord. And it is an ongoing process. God gives me 18 or 20 years to do that. And I dare not wait until he's 15 to start. I've got to start when he's an infant and work all the way through day by 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 day all the way up until he leaves home so that I can equip his heart with all that I can possibly gain from the Word of God. I can equip his heart and there are no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. It just takes hard work. And it's far easier to use behavior modification. It truly is. It's far easier to say, son, here's our rules. Do this, 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 and this. And if you do, I'll pat you on the back. If you don't, you're going to get it. Now leave me alone. I'm going back to play my hobby. That's the easy way. But God's way is heart preparation, not just behavior modification. You've got to reach their heart. Now, it's difficult, but you can do it, and you can equip your child's heart. And God gives us several supernatural resources to be able to help us. And I really appreciate Pastor Kerry Schmidt. He's no related to Walter Schmidt as far as I know, but he's one of the supporting pastors that that support us in our ministry. And he preached a message on this topic, and I gleaned much from him. But one of the things that I took straight from him is these resources. And that is, the first one is you have the Bible as your resource. The Bible is our resource to help us to teach our children. Obvious one, but that's our resource. The second one is that God gives us the Holy Spirit living in us to help us to be able to teach our children and train them in the way that they ought to go. Third, we have the resource of prayer. We can get on our knees before God and pour out our hearts before God and say, God, I need your help. I don't know how to do this big task. It's beyond me. I need your help. God, help me. And we have the, also we have our local church. We have a local church. And that, you know, throughout the whole New Testament, the one main theme other than salvation in the New Testament is the local church. And the local church is important. We need to not only attend, but you need to be members of a local church and get involved in a local church. And if you're not members, please seriously pray about that. You need to get involved in this local church so you can be part of it and you can lead your family in that way. And it'll help you in so many ways. But God tells us also how to equip the heart of our child in our text. And we saw as we looked at that, he tells us, first of all, back in verses 4-6, that we need to prepare ourselves. We need to love God and know God's word. Love God and learn his word. Love God and learn his word. That has to be key, because if we don't love God and learn his word, then we can't pass it on to others. The Apostle Paul had a love for the Lord that was just amazing. I mean, I can say it, I love the Lord, but I don't write scripture. And when Paul puts it down in scripture, that means God agreed with him, and it was truth. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He says, I love Christ, and for me to live is Christ. I live for Christ. And if I die, I'll gain. He had his whole heart and focused on that. And our love for God must be real. You know, God also gives us that the Bible is our manual. Flip over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to just show you something here. We'll come back to our text in a moment, so don't lose your place there. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. And a couple of familiar verses, but I want to point out something here for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture, talking about the Bible, is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Doctrine is that which teaches me what to do. Right? It teaches me what to do, what's right. So it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. Reproof is conviction, that which convicts me when I fail. And it's profitable for correction. Correction is that which gets me back on track after I've failed. And it's good for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness prepares me to do right from that point on. Helps me to do right. Shows me the right thing to do from that point on. That the man of God may be perfect. The word perfect there refers to being complete, mature. All that God wants me to be. Thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly furnished means to be equipped unto all good works. God says the word of God is there to help us, to show us what to do, to help us when we do wrong, help us to get back on track, to show us how to lead life from that point on, to teach us how to be mature as a Christian spiritually, and to help us to be fully equipped. Now, folks, we need to equip our children. These things need to be in our heart that we might be able to pass the baton on to them and equip them so that they can deal with life situations themselves, so that they know how to make right choices, and then they know how to make those right kind of decisions in life. We need to make it a daily priority to spend time with our children. Back in our text again, back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, those ways that he said, remember he said that they were to spend time with them when they're sitting down, when they're rising up, when they're lying down, and when they're walking. All those four ways. All what he's describing is all the issues of life. We need to be interacting with them. We need to turn every context into a teaching context. Now catch that. Every context of life, there's an argument. We turn it around to teach them something about God and how God would respond. They're You know, they spill their milk at the dinner table. Well, we need to turn it around and deal with it and teach them something about God and how do we need to respond correctly and how do we need to be patient or whatever the situation may be. But teach them something about God. All day long, look for opportunities to show them things about God. And every context, turn it into a teaching context. Equip their hearts for life's decisions. Your children are going to have to make decisions in life just like you've made decisions in life. And they need God's help. They need to know how. They need to know how. How do I make the right decision? How do I choose the right thing? How do I take care of my finances? How do I take care of the situation with my friends not getting along with me? How do I deal with the issue of, you know, people are being mean to me? How can I deal with, you know, getting, you know, being appropriate in every situation? How do I dress properly? How do I, all the issues of life. You've got to pour it into their hearts so they know how and that they can turn to Bible principles to find out ways to answer to this. Now, point them to Bible principles. Teach them things that you have learned from the Bible. You know, there's no excuse. You don't have to be an have a master's degree in Bible in order to teach your children the Bible. Every day, if you spend time in the Bible, you can learn something every day from the Bible, and you take that you learned, and you put it in simpler words, if they're little or teenage words, whatever you need to do, but teach them what you learned. It's not that difficult. The problem is that many of us don't spend the time ourselves in the Word of God, and we aren't even hanging on the baton very carefully ourselves. We're about ready to drop the baton, let alone pass it on. Get a grip on that baton in your own life. And determine, I'm going to know the Bible, I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to learn the Bible, I'm going to pass it on to my children. Build relationship with your children. Build relationship. Listen to them. You know, it's not easy to listen. Communication, it takes two sides. Part of it is talking, the other side's listening. And the hardest part is listening. But that's the important part. To listen to our children. Answer their questions. You know, children are full of questions. A lot of times they say, just do it because I said so. But Dad, don't ask questions, just do what I said. No, answer their questions. Help them understand life situation. Help them to see, this is why we're not going to do that thing you wanted to do, because this is what God said. This is a principle from the Bible that teaches us why we don't do that. Or this is why we don't respond like that to our friends. And that's why we need to be kind. And whatever the situation may be, whatever the context may be, you need to use that context in a way that you're teaching your children something about God and how to respond to that, how to respond to these issues. Pray with them. Do you pray with your children? Any father that does not pray with his children regularly is failing his Christian duty. You need to pray with your children regularly. Not just pray for them, pray with them. Pray with your children. And praise your children when they do what pleases God. They need to know, hey, son, that was good. You responded in a right way. God was pleased with that. That makes God very happy when you respond like that. You shared with your brother. That was a nice thing to do. You responded the right way. But they also need to see the other side of the coin. And we need to remind them, son or daughter, if you do that, that makes God very unhappy. Because what you did displeases God. The Bible says that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. That displeases God. It isn't just you made me upset. It isn't just you made me angry. No, you displeased God. Why? They need to see life is not about mom and dad. Life is about God. Life is about God. And we need to prepare their heart to serve God. We need to always then lead our children to the Lord for forgiveness when they've done wrong. Lead them back to the Lord. When they've done wrong, they've disobeyed, they've dishonored you in some way, or they've broken some rule, then yes, they may need to be disciplined. And yes, they do need to learn to behave. But you need to bring them back to the Lord and talk to them and say, Lord, listen, we need to talk to God about this. Because what you did didn't just disobey Dad, it disobeyed God. So let's just sit down and look what God said. This is what God said about that sin you did. And on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about this, a list of things that we can go to the Bible and show them. Here's some Bible verses about major problems that we'll have in a family. But and we talk to them and say, this is what God wants you to do. And we need to help them to get right with God, help them to seek God's forgiveness, help them to be able to confess their sin to God, confess their sin to us, get it right, and then pray with them and hug them and let them know that God loves them, we love them. We need to get involved in their lives. We need to pass on that baton. Now, also, just quickly as we close here in verses 8 and 9, We find here that we need to make the Bible the center of our home. Verse 8 says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates." Basically, what he's telling them is the Bible needs to be the center of your home. Everywhere around. You may have plaques on the wall, you have Bible verses on the wall, but, you encourage that. Encourage that, but also memorize the Bible. Encourage the children to memorize the Bible. You know, one of the best ways to get the children to memorize is to memorize with them. Say, "Oh, I can't memorize. I'm too old." That's not true. It's just an excuse. We all can memorize, maybe slower than others, but you can memorize. And work together with your family. Memorize verses. Have quizzes in your family, Bible quizzes. Get them. How are they going to know the Bible so they can make Bible choices in life if they don't know the Bible? They've got to have the Bible in their heart. And so you've got to help them get it in their heart. Then another thing is to play biblical music. You need to play biblical music in your home. Sadly, many homes of many Christians play music that is foul. They play music in there that are having swear words and curse words and sex words and all kinds of filth that should never, ever, ever enter our home or our car. It shouldn't be part of us. And if that's part of your life, there's something major wrong. Get rid of that filth and replace it with godly music. Now, godly music isn't as easy to find in hard form, but you can download it off the internet. One of the best things you can do in your home, most all of you have internet, most all of you could go to abidingradio.com. You can listen 24 hours a day to beautiful, good, godly Christian music. I have never yet heard a bad song on abidingradio.com. I would encourage you to listen to that radio station. It will bless your heart. And then on there, you can see the names. They show you the name of the song is playing. You can write it down. And then you can go and try to find that album. And there are places, and you can order them online. You can order either a download or even the CDs. But you can order them. But you find out what the music's called by listening to it. Say, "I like that song. What was that?" And you look on there, and it tells you what it was. You write it down, and then you can go look for it. And it'll help you. But you need to have godly music in your home. You really do. Because music will either build your family up or tear your family down. It's up to you. And remember, dads and moms, you're holding the baton. Your example speaks louder than your words. You better hold the baton right. Now, one little quote in closing. If you're like most people, you will not end life wishing that you made more money or had more fun. But you'll probably wish do you spend more time with your wife and children. You know, so many people go through life, their whole focus is on money, 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 fun, 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 pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And they get to the end of life and they look back and their children are a mess, their family's a mess, their marriage is a mess. And they say, "Oh, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids and helped them to go down the right road." But it's too late. As I said earlier, you've got one chance. From birth to adulthood, when they leave home, is your chance to pass on the baton. Dads, are you holding the baton like you should? Are you being the godly example that you should be? Are you leading your family in a way that would honor God? Are you then getting ready and working at passing on the baton to your children, preparing them to grab a hold of that baton, teaching them everything you can learn about the Bible, teaching them, you know, everything you absorb from the Bible, you ought to be teaching back to them. Because as you pull it in, you pour it out to them, and it'll help you to grow, it'll help them to learn. But many times, if we read the Bible, we don't pay much attention to it, we don't make real notes about it, and we teach our children nothing about the Bible. I'm not talking about just having prayer at mealtime. I'm not even talking about just having a quick, "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayer at night before they go to bed. I'm talking about spending some time with them and turn every context into a teaching context. Every situation is about God. Everything in life is about God. Bring it back to the Lord. Every disciplined situation, bring it back to the Lord. Every happy situation, bring it back to the Lord. Every sunset you see, bring it to the Lord. Hey, kids, look at that. Look what God did to it. What a beautiful sunset God gave us tonight. Everything in life, bring God into it. Help them to see that God is in the center and focus of everything. So that out of their heart will come godly issues of life instead of heartbreaking issues of life. Dads and moms, God expects us to transfer our faith to our children. Time passes quickly. You only got one chance. Now's the time. Don't settle for behavior modification. Equip their hearts. It takes work, a lot of work, but it's worth it and it's important. And I challenge you to do that. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you've got to start there. You can't teach them something you don't have. If you know the Lord as your Savior and you're not walking as close to the Lord as you ought to, you better get close to the Lord, because you can't pass on something you don't have. And then work diligently to pass it on every day, every opportunity. Pass it on to your children.